This past August 4th, the church celebrated the memorial of the 19th century French priest, St. John Vianney, fondly known as the Cure of Arras. Renowned for his holiness, piety, and spiritual insight, Vianney was also remarkable for his courage and steadiness in the face of much opposition to his ministry. On one occasion, his parishioners and other clergy members wrote a petition to have him removed because they were not pleased with his style of preaching and his long hours in the confessional. Vianney had come across the petition and actually signed his own name on it, but the local bishop would have nothing of it, and Vianney remained much to the demise of his nemesis, the devil. For some 35 years, the devil assaulted Vianney in a nearly endless number of ways, seeking to break his will and spirit. This was because thousands of people will travel to Arras just to have Vianney hear their confession and reconcile their sins with God. In other words, to save their souls, something that the Grappin, as Vianney came to call the devil, was not happy about. So how did this man of faith sustain the attacks by the devil? First, by submitting himself into God's hands, trusting that God would give him the strength he needed. That strength is revealed in a conversation that Vianney had once with the devil. "I can do everything that you do. I can also do your penances. I can imitate you in everything. There is one thing, however, that I cannot do. I cannot imitate you in humility." To which Saint Vianney responded, "That is why I defeat you." The word humility, from the Latin word humus, meaning earth, means getting in touch with reality directly, being close to the ground, seeing things as they are. When we speak of humility from a faith perspective, it means seeing ourselves as God sees us, knowing every good we have comes from God as a pure gift. Being humble, however, does not mean debasing yourself or refusing to acknowledge that you have any gifts or talents. Humility is less about recognizing how lowly we are than about recognizing how great God is. A humble person understands that they are not the greatest at anything, that their gifts or talents come from God, and they are to be used for the glory of God, not for personal accolades. Throughout the writings of saints, theologians, and the church, humility has been regarded as the root of all the other virtues, the hinge which opens the door to the hearts of others and to the heart of God. Today's readings offer us some valuable lessons on how we can cultivate the virtue of humility in our relationship with God and with our fellow neighbors. Sirach writes that God finds favor with those who are great, yet humble themselves more. Dear friends, we only need to look at the cross to understand the truth of that passage. When we open our hearts and minds to do God's will, setting aside grievances, placing our gifts and talents in the service of others without seeking praise or compensation, we take up the yoke of the one who is humble of heart, who favors us with his rest. In our gospel reading, we find Jesus invited to a banquet with the well-to-do of Jewish society. Observing the maneuverings of the guests and the company that the host invited, Jesus offers a parable that illustrates the virtue of humility to counter the trappings of the sin of pride. In our culture, we often use the word proud to show admiration or affection for someone or something. Rest easy, though, if you happen to say that I'm proud of my grandchildren or I'm proud to be one of the few actual Achanites, you have not committed the sin of pride. The sin of pride in a spiritual and biblical sense means to have a disordered self-love or irrational desire for self-exaltation, an attitude of arrogance or superiority, longing to be exalted above others, loving oneself more than one's neighbor, and even more than loving God. This was the sin of pride that Jesus was speaking about as he relates the folly of those who considered themselves worthier than their fellow peers, seeking the higher place, and to their demise being called out for their hubris. Jesus' words may have come across as a lesson in social etiquette, but they are a warning to avoid those attitudes or things which do not find favor with God. For us here today, I gather there's been some times when we have exercised a sense of pride which has slipped us off the path that Jesus calls us to follow. When we recognize those moments and acknowledge our faults with a humble and contrite heart, the Lord invites us to sit at the higher place, to be with him in the sacrament of reconciliation, and find the favor of his divine mercy and forgiveness. Jesus' comments to the host probably shocked his audience. Invite people to a feast that have nothing to offer in return? Jesus, however, was not criticizing the wealth or status of the host. Rather, he was pointing out the fault, the pride of the host who had the banquet to curry favor or debt of those in attendance. There was an expectation of reciprocation. Jesus was pointing out to his disciples, all of us gathered here this morning, that when our gifts or accomplishments are acknowledged by the world, a humble person turns that praise back to God instead of focusing it on themselves. Friends, it has been said that the way to Christ is first through humility, second through humility, and third through humility. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So as we leave Mass today, inspired by the Word of God and strengthened by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what are those things that we can do to nurture the root of humility in our lives so that we can always open the door to the hearts of others and to the heart of God?
Let us stand.